Tonight's Big Brother recap is sponsored by Blue Apron. Did you know Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient recipe and delivery service in the country? Blue Apron is making cooking fun. Unlike what Alex has to do with the hot dogs, Blue Apron is sending you everything you need to create great tasting meals. Here's what we're getting next week on Blue Apron. Seared steaks. No, I'm not going to wait for Matt to take me to some reward challenge to be having a steak. And check this, meatballs and polenta. It's not the same old stuff that you're going to be getting from Blue Apron. You're going to have a lot of fun putting this stuff together. I could do it. Even Nicole can do it. It's affordable, only $10 per person per meal, even less than that. Blue Apron's going to deliver you seasonal recipes along with the pre-portioned ingredients to make these delicious home-cooked meals with variety. Choose from all sorts of recipes every single week. Blue Apron's culinary team can surprise you. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises every ingredient your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping when you go to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's living on his knees, not dying on his feet. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Big Brother recap for the Wednesday night, August 16th, as we watched a incredible night. It is in incredible, cannot believe what I'm watching on TV. Of people on the block are in the veto, not playing for the veto. A guy on the block is using the veto and not on himself to stay on the block as part of a plan. That up is down is up. And we will talk about it here with our esteemed panel. Of course, let me welcome in a man that you have heard all summer long. Reddit's MVP of Big Brother 19, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm extremely disappointed, Rob, because I feel like that extremitard was meant for Cody, and he just didn't, like, I'm so extreme, Cody, yeah. And it just didn't happen. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, Extreme Cody would have been very good to see. What's that called again? Is it, how did Matt pronounce it?
Extreme Itard.
What?
Yeah, the extreme itard.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Melissa Denny is here as well. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to make an extreme joke, but I feel like that's been played
extreme.
Out already. So
everything's extreme.
I know. I was like, great. Thanks, Taryn.
Yeah.
Extreme one-upmanship.
Ooh. Extreme one-upmanship.
You extremely stole my thunder.
Okay. Just a programming note. Ronnie Talbot was scheduled to be with us, but he was a last-minute cancellation. Had told us that he had a family emergency late in the day today, so I do apologize about that for those of you who wanted to see Ronnie tonight. So again, my apologies. I feel very badly when we say somebody's going to be here and then they are not. So you guys deserve better than that. All right, let's get into everything from tonight's episode. And so first of all, how are you guys doing? You doing well today, Taryn? You rested after the morning update?
Yes, very well. I had a lot of fun this morning on the update. Lots of yelling and impressions. We had lots to talk about.
Yeah, good job with Dustin this morning. And Melissa, how are you doing? Good?
I'm good. I had a lot of fun watching their live feed update in the morning, so yes. I felt a part of it.
Good. Well, happy to have this tandem team of LFC here with us tonight. And of course, we're getting ready for a double eviction coming up on Thursday night. And I guess, you know, it's the night before the double eviction. It's the night where anything is possible, Taryn. You never know. Yeah.
Anything is possible, and you will be let down.
You will be let down.
You'll be sorely disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it vividly last year going into the double eviction show where it was like everything was really starting to fall apart for Paul Calafiore. And then Bridget ended up going home, but we'd have to wait a week for Paulie to ultimately get out of the house. So we'll see ultimately how we get into that. But this was a very interesting episode, of course. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions into the podcast for tonight. And so I thought this was an interesting episode because Big Brother really gave Cody the hero edit. And I thought that was surprising to really build him up where all signs point to him going home on Thursday night. Melissa, were you surprised that Cody really got such a spotlight episode tonight?
I was a little surprised because I feel like we all kind of see where everything's going at this point and all signs point to Cody going home. So you'd think that Big Brother would kind of just try and be like, all right, let's shuffle this episode along and move on to like the real meat, which is like once they have to turn on each other, which is the Outback Steakhouse. But no, so I don't know. I was a little surprised, but I do think Cody's been trying to put a lot of work in this week. And, you know, it makes sense that they would want to showcase it and try and stir up drama.
Yeah, Tyron Cody seemed like it was on like Dan Gheesling level tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this was like the full, like complete package for the underdog stuff. I mean, between like fighting it was his episode. Like every single scene was him trying to do something, him convincing Elena to take the money, him talking to Alex and you know, throwing out scenarios. This really struck me as like this is like a bring this guy back.
What I was gonna ask. Is this the prelude to Cody Big Brother 20 All Stars?
I think they want it to be. I don't know if Cody will want to come back, but I think they want him to come back.
Yeah, I think that that is very much a possibility. And I think that it might be very fun to see. Not that anybody is clamoring for a situation with all new players and one returning vet. But what would that look like if Big Brother 20 was all new players and one returning vet, and that returning vet is Cody?
Yeah, it's just like, look, I've played this game before. This is what you got to do. Back on my season, we had this guy named Paul. It's super annoying.
Yeah. So I think that would be really fun. But then they really built him up and really playing every sort of like he was strategizing, that we got to hear him sort of have this revelation about his family. He was never giving up. He was the only he got stonewalled out of the veto competition and ultimately couldn't get in. And really just a huge night for Cody. I mean, not seen in a negative light by any point in the episode. And it's been such a wild roller coaster ride for this character, Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, he's been through every iteration of character type on Big Brother where, you know, you hate him at first and he's, you know, up in the HOH room, flying high, not talking to anyone. He's the big, you know, big bad wolf, and then all of a sudden he's low, 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 and then he's evicted, and then he comes back on a high, and then back to low, and then now he's like starting to come up high, and then back to low. It's really, honestly, it's very impressive for this, like, the season's like, almost halfway over?
More
just
than
reaching
halfway,
the halfway point, I guess. And he's gone through it all. I feel like I've watched a whole season.
Let's talk about our top story at this hour. And we have Elena, who is on the block in this veto competition. And her and Alex are the last two. I mean, we knew this story from the live feeds, but this was about 10 times worse than I even imagined it was going to be. I thought that this whole time that they had made a deal like before the competition where it's sort of like the Survivor thing where it's like, hey, just in case, if I win reward, I'll take you. And people like sort of like agree to that. But they're standing there. They're in the competition. They're the last two people left. And they say, okay, we just whatever happens, like, okay, you get a prize and one of us will get the veto. And it'll work out great. We're the last two. And literally, like 90 seconds later, she broke this deal. Taryn, this was terrible.
Yeah, and not only did she break it like immediately following it, but Alex is standing there like, no, do not do this to me. I do not do this to me. And she's like, I think I'm gonna do it. I think I'm gonna do it. And she did. It's insane.
Yeah.
It was a lot worse than I thought it was. Because I honestly, yeah, I was expecting it was just some casual thing where they were maybe saying, well, if we end up in this competition together, like maybe not even knowing that this was what the competition was going to be, and just made some sort of deal about it. But this was like, this was definitely, definitively Elena breaking the deal that they had just made. And it just didn't look good. I feel like if I was in Elena's position, I would have pretty much done the exact opposite of what she did and just been like, you know what? I got to give up this money because I got to secure my place. I don't know.
Okay, so we can all agree this was the most idiotic move that you could make. Yet, Taryn, it does not seem as though there are major ramifications. Yes, Alex is salty about it, and that might just be the sodium in the hot dogs. But, I mean, Cody is still the target. I mean, was this, for all intents and purposes, I mean, is this as bad as we're making it out to be?
I mean, I think Elena's goal is like, I probably can't win the game, so I might as well just grab some $5,000 here and there whenever I get the chance. And if that's the goal, then I guess she accomplished the goal. She's not going, she's probably not going home this week. It appears that the target is still Cody, so it seems like she got away with it. But I mean, it's gonna, like, this behavior is sort of a recurring thing, and it's hard to see her winning the game at this point.
Now, Melissa, we saw Cody was mouthing to Elena like a Price is Right contestant as she was trying to make this decision in the veto competition to take the money. Do you think that Cody was ultimately a factor in what she decided to do?
I definitely think Cody was a factor. I mean, I think she was looking for some sort of reason to do it and some sort of like person being like, yep, do it. Someone giving her the heads, like the thumbs up, and that's where she got it from. I think that she wanted somebody to tell her like to do it, and she wanted to hear what she wanted to hear. And Cody happened to be telling her what she wanted to hear because I feel like everyone else was telling her no, and she didn't care. So yeah.
Well, Cody, again, Taryn, this just plays into the mastermind edit that he was getting tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it gave him a ton of credit here. Like, it made it seem like he is the one. Like, without Cody, Elena wouldn't have done this. And Cody got Elena to make this huge mistake, which really wasn't the impression that we got on the feeds. But, I mean, I know it's an effective edit when I'm watching and I know the truth and I don't even care about Cody or his game very much. But I'm like, oh, I hope this works. Come on, help! I hope this works. It was very effective.
And you think that it really did have an impact on it, or do you feel like that the edit was just convincing that it had an impact, Aaron?
I think that she was going to take the money and that she looked at Cody and he was like, yeah, do it. And she was like, good, I've got like somebody that's got my back. I think she would have taken it regardless. She really had no remorse about it on the feed. So I do think she would have taken it. But obviously, Cody being there to be like, yeah, go ahead, was certainly helpful.
It seems like that this house is rather cash strapped. I mean, I've seen some clips from the live feeds where people are arguing about who's in a worse spot financially. Melissa, is that a right read on that?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think it's a huge factor in the way that people are playing, because that's why people want to get to jury. Like, if they weren't so strapped for cash, they'd be like, whatever, that jury money is not really that much money, so who cares? I just want to, you know, go on the show, try for the 500K, and if I don't get it, I don't get it. But these people are like, I need that jury money, so I'm going to play super safe. I just have to make it to jury. And then after that, I'll like go for some prize money if I can. And who cares after that? Because nobody's really caring about the $500,000. They just care about the measly pennies that they get for staying in jury. So, yeah, it's not good.
Matt, also, not to be outdone, Taryn, I can't recall the time that a person is on the block and then has the veto and then uses the veto on a different person that's on the block. I mean, it was so bizarre, just the blocking of it. Here's a person who's on the block closing the box at the end of the veto ceremony, not sitting in the chairs, yet he's one of the nominees.
Sitting back down in the nominee's chair.
Right, yeah, I'm going to go put this veto away. Nomination ceremony is over. I'm still on the block.
It's literally only been, the only time this has ever happened is with family members or Brennan and Rachel, essentially, like people who love each other. And he did it for Jason.
Well,
in fairness,
he did do this for someone that he loves in Paul, because that's what Paul said to do. So
very true. The crazy part about it too is that, like, even in the edit, they had nothing to show. Like, they had Matt saying one time, "Yeah, you know, this has historically never really been done before, so I really have to think about it." Cut to veto ceremony and him doing it. Like, obviously he didn't think about it very much, and he was barely in this episode with a historic move.
Melissa, the show did not make much of a meal about it, unlike Matt with bowls of cereal on end. the show really just yada yada. Did the guy who was on the block just not use the veto to save himself, to save a different guy on the veto so that a different guy could get backdoored this week?
Yeah,
Matt is not coming after him.
Matt is just very dull. And even when he makes a historic move, they really can't make much out of it because he's just that bland. It's kind of sad. It's depressing.
No, he's really bad. He's really bad. And I really thought that he was starting to, like, I said, okay, I felt like about a week or so ago, I was like, is he starting to break out a little bit in terms of, like, there he was in the episode, I think, when we were in New York, when everybody was acting horribly. He was like the one person to say, this is embarrassing. You know what was also embarrassing? When you were on the block and you won the veto and you didn't use it on yourself.
He was saying all season long, like, once we get to jury, I'm going to change my game up. And I think we've finally figured out what he meant by that, which is once I get to jury, I will care even less about my game because I've made it to jury. Yeah.
Let's recap Matt's week. He volunteered to be the person to throw the temptation competition so that he would get onto the block. And then he ended up with the veto and then volunteered to be the person who was going to not use the veto on themselves and so that they could backdoor Cody.
Yeah, he essentially had to win two competitions to do this, right? He had to, like, be so good at the temptation competition that he was able to lose it. And then he won the veto competition, all in order to secure himself a place on the block. It's crazy.
I mean, he didn't technically win the competition. He just happened to be the person who ended up with the hot potato that nobody wanted, the power of veto.
Yeah. And
that's insane.
Like, and throughout this week too, it's like he's done all this work for this group who is constantly talking bad about him and annoyed by him.
Well,
it's
like he's not even getting a team player. You gotta be a team player. Gotta show everybody you're loyal.
A team player. His team doesn't like him. They don't, like, it's not even winning him any favors.
Yeah.
It hurts me so much that nobody was trying to win the power of veto. Like, nobody was trying for it. Come on. It's just so depressing. It's depressing.
That being said, I did like the power of veto competition. That was something I know. I think this was the Zingbot competition last summer, if I recall, where it was the, like, 50 states map. I don't know necessarily what this was, but there was a lot of Big Brother inside jokes and callbacks on the map. Taryn, anything strike your fancy? Do you have any favorites from the game board tonight?
Well, of course, the Johnny Mac reference. I mean, that was the highlight of the entire episode.
Yeah, good on Johnny Mac. And they had the Johnny Mac sound effects, the Johnny Mac. That was good. I wish they would have given, like, more of an explanation, because I feel like that there were more out there. I don't know if anybody's done a screen cap of what everything is supposed to be.
No, I wanted to know what they all were. I was hoping that they were kind of going to go over each of them, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had like Boogie's, like, booger palace or something.
Yeah. That was a few different ones that they had. Dr. Will's Botox boxing was also on the board.
They love their alliterations, man.
They do. They're like you, Taryn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of different fun places. I'm sure Reddit at some point will end up having it. And a few different punishments, which we have seen on the live feeds going on this week. The extreme itard, as Matt said, for Jason. I'm kind of meh on the extreme itard, Taryn.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It can be pretty funny. The size of the hat is pretty extreme, ridiculous. Yeah. And then it's pretty extreme. And then also, Jason is like a very tall person to begin with. So it's like you saw him trying to get into the bathroom. Like, it's very difficult for him. And it's a very heavy hat as well. It's very annoying for him.
How heavy is it?
Extremely heavy.
Yeah. Okay, we also had the Tan Dam Skydivers, Melissa.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. That was lame, too. And, like, come on. You have to choose Christmas so that you guys have to scoot around together. What's the point of that? Was it just so he could get, like, more airtime and think it was funnier or something? I don't... pick someone who can walk.
Was there a strategic benefit for Paul to side with Christmas on the Tan Dam skydiving?
Not really. I mean, he could have picked anyone. You know, he has that freedom. He's in control of the house. But I think it was just kind of like, let's do Christmas. It'll be funny because I'll be stuck on a scooter kind of thing.
And then the big punishment that we've been talking about all week long is the Alex campground punishment, where she needs to put up the tent and then make the hot dogs all week long. Melissa, do you like this punishment?
I love this punishment. I think it's great.
Because it's bad for Alex?
Well, no, not just that. I just think it's pretty funny. I think her outfit is like super cute, and she just looks like a little camper, and she's got all the gear and everything. I just love it. And I love that they play, you know, the bugle sound, and then they've got, you know... She has to. I love how it punishes everybody, because she has to make hot dogs for everyone and they have to accept them. So at like 4:30 in the morning, when she goes into each of their rooms, wakes them all up, they have to grab the hot dog from her. So I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah,
it was really like the perfect storm, like sort of like the Polly having to bake pies last season, where it's just like she's so not only is it like she's the smallest person in there, so that those huge backpacks are literally the size of her, but she's also extremely pissed about it because of what happened in the veto. So it's like it's like everything is combining to make this even worse.
No, it's fun. I do enjoy it, and it's been a pleasure to watch. You know, I just said she. I find her to be very fake in the diary room, and that she's like has faux enthusiasm for stupid things. And so I like seeing her have to, you know, schlep this heavy thing around and make the hot dogs.
Rob, what are you talking about, Rob? What fake in the diary room? I don't know why you're saying that.
Yeah.
Rob. Yeah. How could she be fake in the diary room?
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. I'm not buying it. It was really the other day when she was like doing like miming all the sound effects and stuff like that. It's too much fake enthusiasm. I hate that.
Yeah,
I like real enthusiasm. That's good. But I feel like I have no tolerance for fake enthusiasm. Okay. So we're sort of set for the double eviction coming up. And we seem to have all signs pointing at Cody. I mean, they didn't really hint too much about what is coming next for the house, other than we saw Alex and Paul have a conversation early on in the episode, Melissa, where they were talking about who was going to be going out next. Alex feels like, okay, first we get rid of Cody, then we can go after Mark and Elena, and then Matt and Raven, and then Paul and I will have this game on lockdown.
Yeah, that's what they already are planning things out way far into the future. Who knows if that's the way it's going to turn out, but that's pretty much their plan.
She says that then Paul and I are going to steamroll all the way to the end.
Yeah.
That is what she thinks.
That's the plan. We saw also a lot of Kevin tonight early on in the episode, Taryn, where we saw Kevin talking about how he cannot cry, that his family's never going to, or he'll never be able to go back home if he cries. I think they'll let him go back to wherever he lives.
Oh, no. Children have been very clear about this. He is not allowed back into the house now that he's cried. It's an unfortunate situation. He's going to be left out on the streets. I mean, it's really sad, actually.
Yeah. It's very sad. Kevin had to hide his head in the freezer so that nobody could see him crying.
Yeah. Sad. Well, you've never done this before, Rob? You need to freeze the tears.
Okay. Yeah, that's very important to do. Now, so Cody took this opportunity to bond with Kevin. He knows that Kevin is missing his family, and he confides in Kevin that, hey, just so you know, I have a daughter, but I was surprised that this was not known in the house, because that Taryn, didn't Cody mention his daughter during the live eviction in one of his speeches?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, here it is. I mean, here's Cody talking to his daughter.
Cody?
Paisley, love and miss you, kiddo. Don't be a beta.
I mean, did anybody ask him who's Paisley?
I guess nobody cared.
They just felt like that must be his friend.
I think like everybody else, like you just immediately tune out any shout outs. Like you never listen to what they're actually saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he has a daughter. Don't tell anybody, Kevin. Okay. Keep that one under your hat.
Your literal hat.
Yeah. Go for it. Okay. I'm trying to see if there's anything else from the episode, or we'll get into some of these questions. But I mean, that was pretty much it. Outback.
You don't want
dinner.
To talk about Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah, let's talk about the Outback dinner. Second year in a row, we have the Outback dinner return to the Big Brother house.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't gonna feed themselves. So your boy needs his meat.
They're not gonna feed themselves.
Missing Pauly.
Yeah, Taryn, I went
on... Your boy needs his meat.
Your boy needs his meat. I went on Twitter the other day. I wanted to see if Pauly Calafiore had any hot takes about this season. And sadly, he had not been tweeting about the season to this point. What?
He's bred for it, though. He needs to.
Yeah.
Bred for this.
Oh, my God.
So, we're waiting for his hot takes. Also, I went to go see if Zakiya had any good takes on this season, and she has a private Twitter account, so no word from the Z-Hive yet this season as well.
Oh, man. I feel like we're missing like paragons of Big Brother coverage here.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know what they have to say. But that being said, so the Outback dinner was out there. People really seem to love the Outback dinner, Melissa. You know, not as eventful as last year, as when we saw Frank and Bridget got really drunk at the Outback dinner. This one seemed to just go by.
Yeah, pretty much. It was very bland. There was nothing much to it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Taryn, Paul made a decision that he was going to switch places with Christmas so that she could go have the dinner. Was there any particular rhyme or reason that he said he did that?
Trying to channel his inner like Jeremy from Survivor or like Natalie. Like, I don't know.
Well, it didn't really work out for Jeremy the first time that he tried that.
No, I guess not.
Yeah. But was it just that he wanted to be away from Christmas for the night and he felt like that he needed to? Was it to just be with the people that were inside the house, or it was that he didn't want to be seen as like the people in the house being like, oh, can you believe that Paul is eating and we're all in the house?
I don't think he really described his like strategic thinking on the feeds for it. It was, I mean, like I think his public explanation was just like, oh, she deserves it. You know, she, like her foot and like she's been a good sport about the tandem thing, and you know, I'm sure it was strategic, but we didn't really get the full reasoning.
Okay. All right. Well, hashtag RHAP. We'll dive into some of your questions as well, and then we'll get to the live feeds coming up here in a bit. And so Alex Kidwell's behind the scenes pulling this all together. Corey says, so if Mark or Elena don't win HOH tomorrow, is it safe to say I should just go ahead and cancel my feeds? Well, I think let's not be hasty, right? We'll talk about this in the live feeds.
Yeah, they're going to cancel your feeds for you, actually. They're going down to the double eviction.
Yes, so. Yes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, no, that's an important programming note. So Thursday night, we'll have the double eviction recap right after the episode. And then Friday night, who knows what's going to happen? Big Brother's advertising that there's going to be a surprise guest coming to visit the house. Taryn, is there any chance it's Pauly Calafiore? Is that why he has not been tweeting about the season yet?
Wow, man, you solved it. Oh, this is brilliant.
It smells worse than a porta potty at the Jersey Shore after an all-you-can-eat wings competition. I mean, this thing is disgusting.
Hey, I heard that I got edited out of the special Friday night episode last year. It's only fitting if they bring me back as a special guest, and I'll bring some apple pie that me and my brother Cody made.
That sounds like it would be an actual Pauly DR because his DRs are so long.
Yeah.
They realize they did him wrong and they need to make it up to him by letting him come back for this Friday episode.
Yeah. All right. So who is the special guest coming to the Big Brother house, Taryn? Let's go around and lock in our picks.
Oh, man. I think maybe Alex tweeted something about like Lin. Oh, man. What's his name?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lin Spillman?
No.
It's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mark Lynn Baker? Hey, did somebody say Baker? Because I'm back with an apple pie. No. There's a Lin-Manuel Miranda. You think that, why does CBS have some sort of a Hamilton show?
I have no idea. I think Alex tweeted out a picture of him at like the Price is Right wheel. Like he's on the set or something.
He said he was on the CBS like studio lot. And so people were like, ooh, maybe.
I feel like that's kind of slumming it for,
yeah.
For him. Yeah.
LMM. Yeah. Okay. Melissa, do you have a draft pick?
Well, I like what the chat room is saying, where it's either Frankie Grande or Chrissy's band.
Chrissy's band. Okay. to play. Yeah, we had Ziggy Marley last year. That was pretty big. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I feel like this is coming by hook or by crook. If it's not Friday night, it's happening in the next month, but I know that former SNL star Bobby Moynihan is a big, big brother fan, has a new show coming to CBS this fall that before the end that mark this prophecy down. And I'm not talking about the Wreck-It Mark. I'm telling you that Bobby Moynihan will be in the Big Brother house before the season is nigh.
So this is the segment where Rob surprises us by having us make terrible guesses so that he can explain his well-reasoned theory and sound very smart in front of us.
That is my theory. That's my theory.
I think that's good. I think you're probably spot on, especially if he's a Big Brother fan.
Yeah. Or Mario Lopez could wheel out the Candy Crush iPad. We could get some bonus Candy Crushing going on.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like even they are smart enough to realize maybe we shouldn't plan something like that too far in advance because we don't know if Candy Crush is still going to be on the air.
Yeah,
at that
they're going to wait and see. They're going to wait and see. All right. Aubra wants to ask, why did Matt bother taking the veto instead of the trip if he wasn't going to use it on himself? Paul was vet-splaining how this was going to work in the diary room a bit, Melissa, in terms of like, why would anybody take the veto? You know you're not going to keep it.
Yeah, I guess. But I think the reason why he took it is because he was like, he already knew ahead of time he was going to use it on Jason.
Yeah.
So it's not like he got it and then they convinced him to use it on Jason. He already knew if he won the veto, he was going to use it on Jason. He wanted to get Jason off the block so they could put Cody on the block. So he was basically just fulfilling Paul's plan.
Taryn, do you wish that Paul would have gotten the Secret Service uniform? Do you think that that would have brought Paul back up with the fan base?
No, I feel like it would have tarnished one of his only like good moments. People would have been like, oh, this isn't funny anymore, Paul.
Ruined it.
Now it's not even funny to go back and watch it.
Over it.
Okay. I feel like he doesn't say that either anymore. I feel like that he really retired a lot of the season 18 songbook of Over It, Fool, Sketch. I feel like a lot of that stuff, even Pissed, is all gone, Taryn.
Well, we heard from Cameron that he tried to start up some new catchphrases. Yeah. I feel like he's like a band that like made a hit album and now they're like, no, we're going to try some new material. Some like we're going to change our direction and it's going to be great and people are going to love it. But then it doesn't catch on and they you know, die into obscurity.
Yeah, second album is not so good. That's the Hootie and the Blowfish curse. That was a band, Taryn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they boys?
They were men. Michelle T. Carroll says, did Alex out her game by choosing Paul to play in the veto? I don't really think so, Melissa.
No, I mean, people already know that she's, you know, doing stuff that Paul wants and she's working with Paul and all that. And I don't buy that whole, like, nobody knows that we're working together that Alex tries to portray about her and Paul. It, everybody knows that everybody's working with Paul at this point. So, yeah, no, I don't think it gave anything away.
Okay. Dominic wants to ask, where would you rank the wiener curse in the all-time worst punishments? Okay, so this is, of course, the curse that Alex got tonight.
You get a wiener! Everybody gets wieners!
So she seems excited about it there, Taryn, but ultimately...
Mm. That's because she's in the diary room.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I think I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I got this.
I have a punishment. So awesome. And then she walks outside with her costume on and she's like, yeah, this effing sucks. This is the worst.
Yeah.
It's like so fake.
Okay. Taryn, is this the worst of the punishments that we've seen? That there have certainly been a lot of rough punishments doled out in these sort of competitions, whether it's, kicking 2,000 soccer goals or stabbing the knight, a certain number of times.
I think part of it depends on whether or not they forced Alex to say wiener in the diary room multiple times, because I feel like that definitely adds to the severity.
You get a wiener! Everybody gets wieners!
Yeah. Which has not been untrue this season on the live feeds.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably one of the worst for sure. I mean, you think about like some of the worst punishments, like, Brittany kicking the soccer ball, Shelley doing the sword stuff. But this one is like, especially for her, because she is so small, like it really takes her a long time to set up all that stuff, to cook everything. I definitely put it up there.
Okay.
They didn't give her a pop-up tent. Like, if they had just given her a pop-up tent and didn't make her, like, thread the needle through that entire, like, tent fixtures thing, it's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. They should have given her a pop-up tent. Also, carrying all that stuff, she has to carry around a grill. Like, that's kind of heavy.
It's heavy. Now, when Alex had to ultimately make the move to backdoor Cody tonight, she said something interesting.
I'm sorry, Cody. I nominate you. I wash my hands of this.
I wash my hands of this. That is an odd line to me, that all of a sudden she's this Pontius Pilate type figure, Taryn, in the, she reluctantly has to do this. This is not her decision. That seems like a weird move, that I feel like you want to own your moves in the Big Brother house. I feel like also, who's buying this? Why say that?
I mean, I think it was because they hung out with Cody the night before and they had a good time. And, they were even saying, like, Cody was really cool. He actually did a decent job, like, endearing himself to them. So I think part of her was like, I don't like that I have to do this to you, Cody, especially because I want to do this to Elena. And that's probably also another part of it, is that when she talked about, like, I want to make Elena sweat, she really, she wants to make Elena think that she's targeting her. And so I think that's part of it too, where it's like, I'm putting you up there, but that doesn't mean that you're my target right now.
Is any part of this that she's trying to pander to Cody for a jury vote, Melissa?
I don't think Alex cares about jury votes at all, considering her behavior in the live feed.
Okay. All right. That's a good tease for, all right, let's do one more question. Mr. Robot Taryn wants to ask, Cody's best move would have been to cause paranoia in Matt, so he uses the POV on himself, leaving Jason and Elena on the block, right? If only that Cody would have, gone after the cereal earlier in the week, maybe he could have caused a lot of paranoia in Matt. Got Matt really worked up. Well, what do you think of that, Taryn? Is that a possible move that that he could have made?
It's a tricky situation because Matt's game is just like non-existent. So to say that like he could make this one move, like he would have to change everything about his entire personality for that to
Matt
be a good
paranoid
move.
I mean, does Matt even have a pulse?
No, I'm pretty sure that he's actually been pronounced dead multiple times.
I have two. It's okay.
Twice so attracted to Raven.
Yeah, that's why Raven has two hearts that are just beating very fast. BB Lunatic says, had Cody won the veto and used it on Elena, would that be considered a good move for both of them? Well, you guys really outlined a bunch of scenarios over the weekend, Taryn, where it was like, okay, if Elena could get in the chip draw, if she could pull Cody's chip, and then he could win the veto, and then he could use it on her. That would really be something. Mark was
safe. It would have been something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think she should have if she had the opportunity, but she didn't have the opportunity, and I don't know if she would have if she did.
Right. I mean, this is the same woman that took $5,000 instead of the veto. So, you know, let's lower the expectations. All right. So that being said, I want to dive into the live feeds. A lot of good stuff happening since our last podcast. So we will do that. If you are bouncing out now on Thursday night, we've got a double eviction to talk about. Who knows what could happen? Maybe something good, maybe something not. Either way, we've had lots of good reactions to double evictions in the past. So you will want to be here 10:15 p.m. Eastern time for that. And then again, we'll be live on Friday night after the recap of the recap to see what goes on in the Big Brother backyard. And that being said, let's talk about what's going on the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Extreme. Oh, extreme spoilers. Okay. All right. So there have really have been some extreme spoilers in the past week. And the House, they do love to fight in this House. That is one thing. We'll have to see what it's going to be like once Cody is gone. But Taryn, as you've been talking about all week, Pillowgate, Serialgate, lots of fighting going on in this House for a week where we have a pretty predictable outcome coming up. Still a lot of tension happening.
I can't wait for Shoegate and then Spoongate and then like Bowlgate. It'll be great.
Every inanimate object gate.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's just do the short version in case people have not been following the live feeds. Okay. Melissa, you want to take us through the lead up to the Pillowgate earlier this week?
The lead up to the Pillowgate is essentially that Paul and Alex, they were the main instigators, I guess. They basically said, like, let's create some sort of confrontation. Let's do something. Paul was talking about how Mark had taken some of their pillows. And essentially, Alex just wanted to fight. She wanted to fight to make Mark more of a target and to throw him off his game. And so she just came at him with the pillow thief thing and was just screaming at him that he stole her pillows and it's totally uncalled for and it's not okay and that these are her pillows. And also, like, okay, she's HOH. She doesn't need these pillows, but I digress. She was like, she just thought that those were her pillows, which also they're not her pillows. Everybody shares everything in the house. They're not her pillows. And so Mark's like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, these weren't being used. Like, I didn't know you needed them, whatever. He tries to apologize. And of course, Christmas has to jump in. So she just starts saying, oh, well, apology not accepted because you need to learn. You need to learn. And I don't think you learned. And he's like, I said I was sorry. Like, what more do you want? And of course, Josh jumps in on it and everyone jumps in on it. And then there's like a fight between Josh and Mark about who's going to sleep with Elena. And it was honestly insane. And then the worst part of it, though, is like, okay, if Alex was super pissed that he took her pillows and she was legitimately upset about it and she wanted to yell at Mark, I'd be like, all right, okay. I don't know why she's so angry, but she is. It hurt her somehow that he took her pillows. But the fact that she's laughing about it afterwards and going like, I got him, like, great, guys. And then after she chases him outside, she turns to Jason and goes, and scene. And he's like, you were faking that whole thing? And she's like, yeah, I just wanted to stage a fight and like was cracking up about it. Like, that is just horrible. You made Mark so sad. You made him just, you guys just went after him. It was just like a pack of wolves attacking him. It was so sad to me to watch. And, you know, to laugh about it is just cruel. It's just awful. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, Taryn, you've been calling this for the whole season about how we have these predictable boots coming up on Thursday. And then it's almost like there's too much time time in the week. So then the house gets really focused on, okay, who is the next target? How do we set this up? And it is sort of like the, imagine like a, you know, corrupt police department where it's like, all right, here's the next suspect that we want to get. All right, how do we sort of like plant evidence on him and make him framed for, it's like the making a murderer in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do many of these morning updates with John Krause, and we had an idea to talk about the psychology of why this happens. So since the feeds will be down after the double eviction, we're going to do that in place of the Friday morning update. We're going to talk about the psychology of the sort of mob mentality, the cult of personality.
Hold on. First off, Karen, I have on good authority, Kevin's son says that he is not in a mob mentality. Just want to get that out.
Well, that's
there.
Exact. As many people in that Reddit thread pointed out, that's exactly what the son of a mobster would say.
Yes, yes. That's what Meadow and AJ used to say as well. All right, no, that sounds really fun. And I love getting to hear John's psychological insights into things. I was glad he broke down what Paul's dreams about losing his beard might actually mean. All right, so that was just Pillowgate, all that. And Melissa, job well done on explaining all of that. I really appreciate your real enthusiasm on that. Okay. And that was just Tuesdays, Monday, mm-hmm. all of Pillowgate. So then we get to Tuesday and we have Serial Gate. And no, we're not talking about Adnan and everything going on. We're talking about a real fight again with Alex starting it with a bowl of cereal. And Taryn, can you take us through what happened when Cody got to eat some of the cereal?
Well, basically, you know, as I mentioned, Cody was doing a lot of campaigning to endear himself to Alex and Jason before the veto ceremony. After the veto ceremony, he's back to just the regular kind of just like, I don't care, I hate everyone, Cody mode. So he, Alex told him that he was, look, you can have some of my HOH cereal. And Cody goes, oh, great. I'm going to have some cereal. Cody eats the entire box of cereal.
Alpha move.
And this... Yes.
Well, not only that, alphabets. Actually,
she had said, "Oh, I don't want it. You can have it." So it wasn't just like you can have a bowl. It was like I'm not going to eat. You can have it.
And so this, I mean, Alex, who is very touchy about her property and her food, don't steal her cat ears, don't dump out her Coke, and don't eat her cereal, gets very upset. And then when this really is what sets it off, when Cody basically responds, look, I don't care. I hate everyone. I'm just going to eat the cereal. That's what I'm going to do. And so, he just eats the cereal and she freaks out. She's lost her mind that he's eating her cereal. Jason steps in like, you are an idiot for antagonizing us this week. I can't believe you. It's crazy.
But Jason was pretty horrible as well on these clips.
Yeah. Well, he really jumps in. As I mentioned in the update, like Jason is very protective of Alex. So it's like, as soon as he feels like Cody is coming at Alex, he's jumping in like, I can't believe I felt bad that I was going to vote you out. Like, who even are you? And as I mentioned, this whole thing with, Cody's daughter, the way he tells Kevin actually then went and told, a few people and it basically got around to the entire house and they doubt the veracity of this story. They think that his daughter is completely made up. So during this argument, Alex is basically like, you know, the fact that you would eat my cereal and not even care. How's your daughter, Cody? Do you even have one? Do you even like Jess? Who even are you, you cereal monster? It got ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it really is insane. And what is Jason's deal, Melissa?
It's honestly like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. He's like, I can't believe you would do something like this. You've stooped so low. I thought highly of you. It's like, he ate cereal. Relax. And they're like, you're attacking us. You're attacking. He's like, guys, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Like, he's like, I don't care if you guys like me. I want you guys to hate me. That's fine. And they're like, oh, really? You want us to hate you? Why would you say something like that? It's honestly, it's so ridiculous. And of course, Christmas feels the need to jump in again because once again, she has something to say. And she's like, we're not attacking you, Cody. We're not arguing with you. We're asking you questions. We have questions. It's like, these are not questions. Asking how's your daughter in like such a hurtful way is not a question. It's not a legitimate question that you're expecting a response to. It's ridiculous. And Christmas was like, you owe us the answers. You owe us these things. It's like, he doesn't owe you anything. And then like Kevin, obviously he like means well, he like jumps in and he's like, Cody, like maybe if you just be nice to these people, if you just, you know, give them a little respect and talk with them and get to know them, maybe you'd make some friends out of this. And it was like, Cody, I was thinking like, he doesn't need these people. Why would he, should he show them any respect at all whatsoever? He shouldn't show them any respect because they have showed him zero respect since day one. So, you know, I was like, Kevin, stop. You don't know what you're talking about. And poor Cody, he's just like trying to get out of this. He's like, guys, you know, I don't want any friends. I don't want you guys to talk to me. I don't want to talk to anybody. And they're like, well, why'd you even come on Big Brother? And it's like, well, he wanted to come on Big Brother and talk to people at the time. He doesn't want to talk to you guys now.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see how much of this they're able to show tomorrow. So we have the double eviction. So it's going to be a busy episode. So they probably have only about like 7 or 8 minutes to show all of these fights from during the week. So and then this spun off into a bunch of different other fights. Anything from the highlights of the fallout of Serial Gay, Taryn?
I mean, I honestly think this is like going to be all they show of the rest of the week on the double eviction episode. I think they're going to be like, this fight broke out and this is why Cody's going home. I think that's probably what they're going to show. As far as like what happened afterward, I mean, they go after Mark. And they rehash the same Mark fights.
Josh and Elena.
Yeah.
Josh and Elena go after each other. It's not. I mean, it's all just rehashed.
Yeah. Deanna in the chat room says maybe Friday night we'll recap the fights. Yeah. There could be like, hey guys, remember when we had all those fights this season? You know, we really got into it. That's not friendship, but we're not pissed. Let's remember that. And then we could see a lot of what's going on. Okay. So here's what I would like. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, in regards to the Josh and Elena fight, like, as annoying as Josh is sometimes, like, to his credit, he tries to keep the fights totally game related. He just says like, I can't trust you in this game. You lied to me. Like, he says it in an annoying way and he kind of gets on everybody's nerves, but he does keep it more to game where it's like, just, this is what you did in the game. This is why I don't trust you. This is why you lied to me. This is why you're a liar. This is why you're a manipulator, as he says it. And you know, that's, I don't find that as big of a deal as I find like personal stuff. Like when people start getting personal and when they're screaming and stuff, I can't get behind that at all. So, you know, to Josh's credit, he does try and keep it to game. And then as much as it's like, I don't really believe it when he says the whole, like, I love you as a person, I respect you as a person, you know, at least he says it. So, yeah.
It should be pointed out that Josh is basically the only one here doing jury management after the fights. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is just very angry. And of course, Paul is doing his best to stay as uninvolved as possible and then trying to like mend fences afterwards as well. The rest of them just couldn't care less about their jury votes.
Yeah. And then also Josh afterwards was like, you know, I don't think we should do this anymore. I don't feel good about the whole everyone ganging up thing. Like if I'm arguing with someone and I'm having a disagreement with someone, like, let me just handle it myself. Like, I don't need everyone jumping in on it. And of course, like, Christmas and Paul are justifying it, saying like, well, we all had things to say. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you didn't. You didn't need to say anything, but you wanted to say something. So yeah, I give Josh credit for that.
Okay. I want to discuss something that Taryn, you've done a really good job of talking about on the morning live feed updates over these last 2 days, but there is a tantalizing scenario which is developing in the Big Brother house, which concerns Paul, his fixation with Kevin, and the secret in the house that Kevin is the person that had the $25,000 on night one, which we had thought to this point that Paul was the only person who knew where that body was buried. But Taryn, could you talk about how that has come to a head a little bit this week?
Yeah, well, so basically, Paul was having a conversation with Josh, and he was going through his usual routine of like, I campaigned to keep you in the you and Christmas in the game. I've got you guys back. I even convinced people that Ramsey's had the $25,000. And then Josh, out of nowhere, to everyone's surprise, including the feed watchers, says, "Oh, actually, I know who has the $25,000." And Paul's like, "What? How do you know?" And he's like, "Yeah, Kevin told me." And Paul immediately, you can tell, is just very annoyed. Because Kevin all along has been telling Paul, you are the only one that knows, you have my secret, like, well, this is bonding us. And Kevin and Paul is now realizing in this moment, I got played. Kevin told Josh immediately. Josh never said a word of this on the feeds. It was pre-feeds, so nobody knew about this, including Paul. Paul's very upset, and he wants to, like, use this against Kevin. And he goes overboard in, like, how he starts to sell this, right? So he goes immediately to Alex and says, guess what? I've got some information. Kevin has the $25,000. Josh just told me today, and I confirmed it with Kevin today. And then they tell Jason, and Jason is very skeptical about this news. He's like, wait a minute, that timeline doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that Kevin has the $25,000. Why would Josh tell you and not us? I don't understand any of this. Kevin confirmed this to you just now? Paul is starting to play a very dangerous game here because there's a lot of lies that he could very easily get caught up on.
Right. And with Kevin having the hinky vote from earlier in the season, mm-hmm. but also that the fact that Paul told Kevin that to make that hinky vote. So there's a lot of things that Paul has known that he did not disclose to his alliance and Melissa, that this could create some intriguing scenarios in two different ways. One, people start to compare notes against Paul and realize that there is a lot of shadiness going on. Or should Paul or one of his constituents win the HOH, Kevin is in some danger going into this double eviction tomorrow night.
Yeah. I think absolutely. I think that if Kevin senses that he's in danger, he has a lot of dirt on Paul at this point. So he could use that to his advantage. If he senses that Paul is turning against him, he can say, you know, Paul's been telling me what to do this whole time. He told me to cast the hinky vote. I told him originally that I had the 25K and he lied about it and didn't tell anyone that he knew. He told me to do this. He told me to do that. And people will start to be like, wait a second, we didn't know any of this. We thought that Paul was telling us the truth all the time, but really he's been doing like weird stuff on like the outskirts. And people will really start comparing notes and then they'll find out what Paul's been doing, hopefully.
Yeah, and the thing about Paul, right, is that he has so much control over these people. If they found out that he had been lying all season long or that he lied back in the beginning of the game, they wouldn't care. They have too much invested in their current plan. They'd be like, you know what? That annoys me. It's going to make me look at him differently, but I'm going to get over it because I don't want to have to deal with it. But the fact that he was just now trying to play them actively, saying, I just found this out, we need to use this against Kevin to get him out, it will look incredibly shady. And there's no getting around that. There's no excusing around it. It's like, Paul just lied to my face with a very clear agenda of having me turn against my own ally. He's clearly trying to, you know, work this to his benefit. I can't trust him.
Yeah. And it feels like that there is some momentum, that this is something that is going to get out eventually and be a bigger thing. It almost feels like that the one thing Paul could do to sort of prevent this would be to get Kevin out in this double eviction, where Kevin does not then have the opportunity to tell his side of the story. If Kevin goes up on the block any other week, then he has a week of time where he can sort of reveal all of these secrets that he has on Paul. But in that double eviction, that's the one night where they could get him out and he won't have a chance to spill what he knows, Melissa.
Yeah, this is like the best opportunity for Paul to get rid of Kevin, which I really hope doesn't happen, but it, for Paul's sake, that's what he should try to get happen.
Yeah,
it really, really reminds me of the Big Brother 15 double eviction with Judd, mm-hmm. where Andy made stuff up about Judd in order to build him up as this big villain and then had to quickly eliminate him from the house. Judd was completely blindsided. Everybody was like crying because they love Judd. I feel like we could have a very similar situation here with Kevin if Paul ends up going after him.
Yeah. So I am really concerned about, you know, I think that some people that have like a pipe dream that Paul could go out in the double eviction. I see almost no chance that that is going to happen. But I think that worst case scenario, and again, I don't want to jinx this, and I have some bad luck with this double eviction, but I think that Kevin going out in the double eviction could be worst case scenario for the season, Taryn.
Well, I think it depends. I think some people are hoping that Mark and Elena end up being the force against Paul, whereas Kevin is still loyal to Paul at the moment.
But he knows where the bodies are buried.
Exactly. It's the kind of thing where, like, Kevin could theoretically poison the well against Paul and get people to turn on him socially, whereas Mark and Elena might win a competition and go after him. So it's kind of depends on, like, what way you'd like to see this happen. Obviously, Paul has a lot of control, so it's kind of not a given that Kevin might be able to successfully turn people against Paul, but it's also not a given that Mark and Elena will be able to get Paul out even if they win a competition. So it's really like you just gotta hope that Mark or Elena win the HOH and none of them go home.
The thing I really like about Kevin is I don't think he suffers fools. So I think that if he was ever to be on the block, if they ever put him in that position, like, I don't think that he would just play the game of just, you know, smiling and saying, oh, I'm gonna take one for the team. Like, I don't think that he would go like the Matt or Elena route in terms of this. Like, I feel like that he would really start to spill some dirt. So that's what's so exciting to me about keeping him in the game and seeing how Paul is going to have to maneuver about that. But I do think that the best case scenario for Paul is going to be to target Kevin. Do you think that he feels that way, Melissa?
I definitely think so. I mean, Paul is trying to turn everybody against Kevin at this point. He's basically saying that Kevin's the next target, which is kind of surprising to me. Well, it was surprising to me, but it makes sense because Kevin's got so much information on Paul that could really hurt him. So I think that it's in Paul's best interest to get Kevin out ASAP.
Do you get the sense of what Paul would do if he did get HOH in the double eviction?
I think that he would probably go after Mark and Elena at this point. He's gone back and forth between, like, maybe we should target Kevin first. He goes down and he talks to Mark and Elena about, like, you know, there's somebody that Cody's protecting. It's not you guys, somebody else, hinting that he might target Kevin first. It's given Mark and Elena some hope, some thought of, like, maybe we shouldn't target Paul if he's going after Kevin. But at the end of the day, he also has heard from multiple different people that Mark has said that he's coming after him. And he knows that Mark is good at competition. I think when it comes down to it, Mark is the easier move, and it's also he's the scarier player to have against you in terms of, like, what could actually happen. He could actually win a competition, actually put you on the block, whereas right now Kevin is still on Paul's side. Kevin is probably not going to win a competition. I feel like Paul's not going to look at it as clearly as maybe he should, and he might think that Mark is scarier than Kevin.
Melissa, I want to make a prediction. You tell me if I'm crazy or not, okay? My prediction is Elena is in the final three of this season.
I mean, crazier things have happened. But at this point in time, I'm not sure I see that happening.
I wouldn't even say that Elena sits in the final two with Paul.
I would like to see that, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to be.
And my logic on this is once Mark is out of the house, Elena has nobody, and she becomes the Victoria to Paul. And Paul, she just is like, she does whatever Paul says. She has nothing else going on in the house. And Paul just brings her as a final two goat, potentially.
Yeah.
I think she might be more of like a Sabrina, but I see what you're saying where it's like, I could easily see her, like, just who wants to bother taking her out, especially if she's not going to be winning competitions. The problem is if she does start winning competitions, you got to start taking her out. But if she like kind of lays back and is just like, you know what, I'm dead in the water here and I'm going to just yell at people that make me angry and take their money. I could see her sticking around for a long time.
Plus, I think that Mark is the main, you know, driver in their whole, we got to go against the house. We're the only two, you know, this is us. We need to make a big move. I think if Elena feels like she's safe, she's not going to turn against everybody. She's just kind of going to coast along as long as she can, because she wants to be in the game as long as she can for exposure. So if Mark wasn't there, I don't see Elena putting two and two together like she has been and being like, wait a second, Paul's making deals with everybody. I think that Mark is helping goad her along in that, okay, in that way.
Let's take another couple of questions here tonight. This is from Stephanie, who says, do they suspect double eviction? Melissa, is that being talked about in the house?
I've heard talk of double eviction for next week. So I think a lot of people are thinking that next week is going to be the double eviction, because also they started practicing for a competition today, which is a shuffleboard competition. And I think it was Matt who was saying, well, it can't be a double eviction this week because they wouldn't have a shuffleboard competition for a double eviction HOH, which, like, no, they would. So, which is really unfortunate, honestly. Like, they can't keep having these, like, these chance competitions for the most important HOHs of the season. It really doesn't give anyone a chance. If your back is against the wall, you're going to try as hard as you can. But if it's a chance competition, like, there's nothing you can do.
Taryn, does it bother you, the chance competitions?
No, I love them.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me that much either, because I feel like it's almost like, oh, well, at least anybody can win this one. It's not like that it's necessarily, because I feel like that the people that we'd like to see win, probably, like, what chance does Kevin have to win, you know, an HOH or anything like that? So I feel like that at least, you know, let's just, you know, spin the random number generator and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Like most of the time, the big alliance has all of the good competitors, and the underdogs are the people that can't compete for the life of them. And so these are the kinds of competitions that, during the most important HOH of the season, are the ones that should be, you know, crapshoots, because they actually have a shot at winning. Obviously, this season it was kind of reversed, where the underdogs were actually pretty decent competitors. So we kind of, like, wanted to see competitions where they could shine. But I think under most circumstances, we like these, even if you are somebody that roots for the underdog.
Let's let Lin-Manuel Miranda come in and spin the big wheel to decide the new HOH, head of Hamilton. Okay, Michelle T. Carroll says, if Elena didn't give Alex the punishment, do you think her position would be different? Melissa,
no,
the same?
No, they'd find something else to hate her about. You know, she would have touched Alex's shirt, or she would have eaten Alex's, like, chips or something, and then, you know, we'd be in the exact same place that we're in right now.
Okay.
There is one moment that we haven't talked about on the update or this show, but, like, after the, like, main part of the fight with Cody, Christmas goes, wait a minute, hold on, just one second. She goes, actually, I thought something like this would happen. She, like, hobbles over to the cabinet, and she reaches down, and she's like, I actually saved... Oh, wait, I saved the wrong kind of series. Never mind.
Oh, my God. Okay. She always has to be in it.
Yeah, it was just, like, it was so ridiculous.
All right, Sandy Fisher says, do you think that Paul's number is going to come up soon with either Kevin or Jason blowing up his game of secrets? We talked about the Kevin situation. Do you feel like that Jason, we used to talk about him as potentially being somebody who was not 100% on board with the Paul Tramless. Do you think that is he still a key cog there?
I just feel like it depends how soon is soon, you know, cause I think that I don't see Paul leaving this week. And I don't necessarily see Paul leaving next week. So, I mean, if you're saying soon, like in a couple weeks, then, like, yeah, definitely. But I really don't see a situation where Paul, like, leaves in the double eviction or anything like that.
I mean, just a programming note. Today is August 16th. The finale is September 20th. So a couple of weeks is, you know, getting pretty close to the end of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, his spot will get blown up in the final two.
I think Jason, more than almost anyone else in the house, apart from obviously Kevin, Mark, and Elena, is like one of the most willing people to turn on Paul. He just needs the right information. I think he's very apt to, like, if Kevin tells him everything that he has on Paul, Jason will turn on Paul. The problem is that Alex might be able to get him to stop him from, like, targeting Paul. And so if Alex is out, I think he'll be completely done with Paul. And even if she isn't, I feel like he'll probably side with Kevin over Paul.
Okay. BB President wants to ask us, many house guests are heavily invested in Paul and don't know Big Brother well. If he betrays too many, could he lose in the final two because of a bitter jury? We've talked about this quite a bit. Taryn, I think that you have said that you do not think this will be a bitter jury.
I don't think so. I think that most of the house respects Paul, and I think that most of the house is also, like, worse than Paul in terms of like how they're treating everybody else. So if you're going to be bitter against somebody, like why would you be bitter against the guy that was just like playing the game over, you know, somebody who's like yelling at you because they ate your cereal?
Yeah.
You know, well, like it's, I do. There's not a lot of competition.
I think it'll be interesting to watch how Paul pivots this in terms of the vetsplaining, because, you know, the playbook on this is, you know, you have to, you know, preach, you know, loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. You can never turn your back, because Paul has to sort of like foster to everybody, hey, if you flip on me, you'll lose the game automatically because it'll be a very bitter jury, because then everybody will make everybody vote against you if you flip against me. But he also needs to sort of impart that he also, they should vote for him when they get to the end. So that's like a tricky spot of, you know, you need to vote for the person who played the best game, but no matter what they did, but make sure that you don't flip on me, because then you'll lose in the final two. I'll make sure that it will poison the jury. So it's a tightrope, Melissa.
Yeah, but I feel like it would only be a bitter jury if these people cared about winning. So I feel like they're just going to be like, yeah, you know what? Thank God we basically all won because we got Paul to the end like we all planned on all along. So, you know, I don't see a bitter jury. I see them being like, yay, we all won because Paul won. And that's friendship. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
here's who I think the people that are going to be bitter. If Paul ends up betraying Alex or Jason, I feel like they will 100% be bitter against Paul, because Alex will be like, how dare you betray friendship? But I think Matt and Raven just aren't invested enough to be bitter, unless he like pulls a Shane and is like, this was my game all of a sudden. Like, but I don't see that happening. I think Mark and Elena will be voting for Paul if they get, if they're in the jury. And I think Cody's voting for Paul too. So it's hard for me to picture a scenario where Paul doesn't win.
Okay. Let's say a couple more questions. Michelle T. Carroll, if Mark wins HOH in the double eviction, would it be better to put Maven up or should he go after Paul? So, Taryn, what will Mark do if he wins the HOH?
You know, he's been going back and forth. The most consistent plan it has been put up Alex and Paul, which would be the best move he could make.
Yes.
Because either Paul goes and like the game opens up, or Alex goes and it opens Jason up, and you've got some kind of a shot to go like four versus five or something like that. So that would be the best plan. But as I mentioned, Paul went to Mark and Elena and said that he might have another target in mind, which has made them consider like maybe we need Paul for just like a short term thing, because everyone else is targeting us and Paul is like the one person that's not. He's targeting Kevin. So they might end up doing like Alex and Josh or Josh and Paul, which wouldn't be the best decision. I'm hoping that they stick to their guns and they go Alex and Paul. That would be their best decision by far.
Let's do one more question. Mark wants to ask, last year you correctly picked an uneventful double eviction with Bridget going home. Is there any doubt Paul wins the HOH and Mark goes out? Well, I say if Paul wins the HOH, I think Kevin is going to go out.
It's possible.
I think that maybe if I was going to predict it, maybe Mark wins the veto and then Kevin ends up going out in the double eviction.
That I could see that happening for sure. I think that would happen. I think some people would be pushing for Matt, but I think Paul would be like, not Matt yet. Let's take a shot at Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what happens. Should be an interesting night no matter how it goes down. And ultimately, we may come on Thursday night and see, here's a avenue that we did not see coming. Or we could say, boy, this thing looks like more of a foregone conclusion than we could have even anticipated before tonight. So we'll see one way or the other, but it should be a good show tomorrow night no matter what. All right. So, Taryn, you'll be back tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Can you give us a tease? Do you know who's going to be on there yet?
I'm going to be on with Matt Liguori from Podcast
House.
Okay,
Matt Liguori, also from the Power Rankings on robhasawebsite.com. Check that out.
Those Power Rankings are really fun.
Yeah. Let me also give a shout out to the Australian Survivor coverage that Nicky Danza is doing. He spoke with Jenna Louise from Australian Survivor Season 1. I have been keeping up with Australian Survivor. I'm 7 episodes in. And Australian Survivor, I will say, so could be maybe the best reality show of the summer. I'll say that right now. But no, it's been very fun to watch so far. And I was not a huge fan of Australian Survivor Season 1. So check if you have a chance to catch up on that. It's only 7 episodes in, and the podcast has been very fun as well. All right. So we've got our show tomorrow night, 10:15 Eastern time, and then Friday night as well. Of course, follow Melissa on Twitter at It's Melissa, and then of course at Armstrong Taryn. And Taryn had a another fun episode of the Taryn Show this week, talking with our good friend Jordan Parhar as well. Taryn, I finished the podcast.
Oh yes, it was good. I really enjoyed it. I had a good time talking to Jordan. It was very nostalgic.
Yes, yeah, lots of fun there. All right, good job by Alex Kidwell behind the scenes. Can't wait to see how the double eviction goes down tomorrow night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.